going to do. They're going to go take drugs. They're going to go drink it up. They're going to do that. Well, first of all, it'd be a good idea for you to not give them money. I know a family that's having some real difficult times. I went down to the housing, housing place, and I paid for the rent. I didn't give them the money. I went down and paid for the rent. I think that's a good idea. Other times when you can't do anything else but give them money, hey, you know what? I'm just doing what God told me to do, and it's up to them before God what they do with what I gave them, because I gave them out of a pure and a clean heart. You understand that? You always have your poor, and you always have your widows, and your fatherless, and God says, make sure you take care of them. Don't ever take advantage of them. Always give them more than you should have. And that's up to God to take care of you. So when you're reading your Bible in the morning or afternoon or night, whenever your time is, you read your Bible, check that out, that poor. See what God says about it. Well, he called down the perpetual blight on David's pedigree. that family might be accursed in the land. And let the iniquity of his father be remembered. And think of that. He wanted to go back and rake up the past and dredge up the sins of David's forebears and then perpetually be remembered for God. Well, that's really a blessing, amen. Thanks a lot, pal. I would tell people, man, I got enough problems. I don't be going to God after me, amen. Is there any bottom of the depth of degradation of this man's soul? No. He's not content of just an all-round curse on David. He wanted to go back all the way to David's tree, all the way back to Jesse and Boaz and other long honored line. He said, I want to go back there and just fix it. He then called on a perpetual blot on David's parents. And he said, and let not the sin of the mother be blotted out. We do not know what David's mother, who she was or what she did. It's never named. I know she had 8 boys. We know that he cared for her, because when David's spite against him was reaching the crescendo, David escorted him and his mama to Moab, make sure that they didn't get hurt. And it must have had hurt David deeply to hear someone say something bad about his mother. Brother Jason and I were talking about, I forget what it was, but he said, man, don't let anybody ever something about something. I thought, yeah, that's right. That's like your mama. You don't talk bad about my mama. I don't care if my mama wasn't a good woman, though she was. She's a godly one. You talk bad about my mama, you're gonna be picking yourself up and spitting out teeth. And you say, well, why? What are you going to do? I ain't going to tell you. Just try it. I'll meet you up back. Don't talk about my mama. You have no idea what my mama did to give me life. This man was cursing David's mother. Then he also says, not only that his family might be a cursed land, but that his family might be accursed by the Lord. Let them be before the Lord continually, that he may cut off the memory of their earth. Boy, that reviler wanted David's family not only to be extinguished from the earth, but also the memory of his family to be obliterated. He invoked God to do this effect. He began his curse by calling on Satan, and he ended in calling on the Lord. Wow. There's nothing like the appalling curse elsewhere in the Bible. This is it. This is the ultimate. There are nationals, but this is personal. There are nature of divine retribution for apostasy. This is sheer malice and spite. But the accuser is not finished. Then, verses 16 through 19, the appended claim. He gives 2 reasons for calling down the curse. Both are false. He said that David was, 1, he was addicted to cruelty. because that he remembered not to show mercy to persecute, but persecuted the poor and needy man, that he might even slay the broken in the heart. That was not David. Y'all read the Bible, right? Y'all know about David. David was a merciful man. He begged God from who wouldn't kill people. Except in the matter of Uriah, there's no more merciful man than David ever lived. In those rough and tumble Old Testament times, even after the horrendous time of Absalom, what did you hear David crying? Oh, God, don't let him die. And David was willing to forgive. And he was willing to forgive the foul-mouthed Shimei. But this guy says, he's addicted to cruelty. But propaganda cares little for truth, right? Propaganda cares little for truth. Tell a lie enough and often enough and people will believe it. The ancient propaganda accused David of having no pity, and he was destitute of despair. He says, not only did David was addicted to cruelty, he was also addicted to cursing. As he loved cursing, so let him, he goes on, you read the scripture, he claims that cursing was a habit of David's mind. You read the Psalms, you see any cursing of David in there? It was not. He cursed. He said he's a natural cursor. He curses like he puts on clothes. Just easy. I've met some guys like that. You know, it's easy for they can cut the blue streak. Easier than they can put the t-shirt on. Amen. Therefore, let it cling unto him. Thus ends the terrible litany. The psalm now returns to David, who is still a fugitive from Absalom. He's ran off. He has to run. He has to, for fear of his life. And David's fear is expressed, verses 20 to 31. David now offers a threefold prayer and lies the fearful malediction, which is recorded. It is a natural that he should begin to seeking justice from the Lord for what is said. I don't know about you, but I sure love justice. I love justice. I do. There's a lot of things that happen in it around you that just seem like there's no justice. You know. No justice at all. But their justice is coming. Yes, it is. It's coming. Someone treating you bad all the time, treating you bad all the time. One of these days, somebody's going to say, hey, wait a minute. That's not right. He does not. She does not. No, she did not. I heard a guy said that Sheldon likes to eat flies, and I said no, he doesn't, only on bread. But anyway, there is so much junk out there. People that he does not like flies, no. But you know, there are just people out there in this world who are just some way somehow just to bring something up just to hurt you. I don't know why. Why would you do that? Why would you say something like that? Or be accused of saying something? This is what David said. O Lord, remember my cursors, verse 20. Let this be the reward of my adversary from the Lord. David does not have the Christian spirit. How could he, living 1,000 years ago, understand the Christian era? But he is careful in what he says. He doesn't answer curse with curse. Rather, he refers the whole matter. Listen now. Listen, don't you miss that. You missed everything else. Okay, don't miss this. He refers the whole matter to the Lord. Are you understanding me? When people are mean and devastate your life and try to turn your place upside down, take it to the Lord. Well, I need to vent. So you want to put more sewage on everybody else? God, have mercy. We've all done it. You're so frustrated, you don't know what to do, so you talk to a friend, and you just belch out and vomit junk that people have done to you. Do you any good? Did it do you any good? No, it's just rehearsing it. Be careful what you regurgitate, because now that defames your friend. Good or bad? How many think it's good? Raise your hand. How many think it's bad? Raise your hand. Well, it's got a few that think it's bad. Amen. When Moses was maligned, remember his brother and his sister, and they maligned him, went against him. His sister got what? Leprosy. God said, don't you talk about my leader like that. I didn't call you to be the leader. I called your brother Moses to be the leader. Aaron? Moses, when he was maligned, you remember Korah? He said, who do you think you are? Him and his renowned men. Who do you think you are? Think you'd be the leader of this place. Hey, we can do a better job than you can. God didn't just call you. God called her. And God said, no. He says, no. Moses, you're all right. But what did Moses do? Moses' habit, he would fall on his face before the Lord, leaving his accusers face to face with God. And David did the same. Boy, I wish we could learn that tonight. God, forgive us. Forgive me. So many times, it just seems like it's unfair. Well, folks, life is not fair. And it's God who is our judge, and he judges in justice, perfect justice. And you say, but what if they never get it? Oh, they'll get it. You say, but what if I die? He says, doesn't make a difference, is it? Because it's not about you. This life is not about you. It's about glorifying your heavenly Father. Shame on us to think that we are so important. Think that we're so cool. Thinking we've never done anything wrong. Well, let's just get the book out tonight. Let's see some things. How you doing? You ever say anything bad about anybody? Shall we have testimonies now? It's one of those old me amens, but old me. Oh, let's just say amen or oh me on that one, amen. So let's be very careful. You may say something that's not the way it was. And it was misinterpreted. And so therefore it goes through your home, your family, your church. And how do you bring it back? Preacher came to a church, country church. Couple of imbecile ninnies, old women in the church, started saying things about the preacher. And it wasn't so. But after a while, them old ladies started liking that preacher. But then it got out, and the church, the whole city was a fuss about it. And they came and said, preacher, we were so wrong about you. So how can we ever take it back? And he said, I want you to stand in front of my house. Don't go away. They stood in front of his house. He went up to the attic window, opened it up, and took a knife and cut open a feather pillow and just shook it. He said, girls, he says, ladies, I'll tell you how, when you get done picking up those feathers, that's how you can be forgiven. That's how you can pick up all the mess you've made. And they said, we can't. And he says, nor can you straighten out what you've said, because people would rather to believe a lie than the truth. And if you say a lie long enough, they'll believe it. So you want to be careful what you say out there. He said, verse 21 and 25, O Lord, remember my condition. He had two things in mind here. Please be mindful of your mercy. Thank God for mercy. I love mercy. Don't you love mercy? Man goes to court. He wants mercy. He don't want justice. He wants mercy. But do thou for me, O Lord, O God the Lord, for thy name's sake, because thy mercy is good. Deliver thou me. David appeals to God. And there's two names. One, Jehovah, the God of promise, and Adonai, which is sovereign God, the God of power. He appeals to him on the grounds that he's both willing and able to save him. God, I know you're willing and I know you're able. Do you ever meet people that are willing but they're not able? Hey, I'm going to help you with that. Well, they're willing, but they don't have the foggiest how to get it done. Some of you say, hey, I'll cut your hair. You're willing, but you're unable. That's why we go to Sister Julie there. My wife tried to cut my hair one time. She was willing. She wasn't able. I wouldn't let her do it again. I suspect that new kind of scissors they got, that worked pretty good, you know. Did you see that thing on that guy said he was he was in great, what do you call a person who can't do something? He's, they're unable to do something, whatever. He said, he couldn't help, he just didn't know how to fix his daughter's hair until he got the vacuum out. Did you see that? Put the vacuum on her hair and made a ponytail. That's cool. But the trouble is, the little girl, if you watch her like this, Daddy, my ponytail's too tight. So anyway, some of you sleeping out there, trying to help you out there, amen. Please be mindful of my misery, he says. David reminded the Lord of his sorrow, his sickness, and his scorners. For I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. You see, the rebellion of Absalom broke his daddy's heart. You only have to listen to the cry of the desolations that burst from David's soul when he heard the news that Absalom was dead. Absalom was dead. Was there ever such a cry of anguish? Parents never want their children to be hurt. I don't care how bad they hurt you. I don't bad they slam the doors and holler and swear. We just don't want them to get hurt. If you're a parent, you understand what I mean. We want the best for them. In this psalm, David says, I am gone like the shadow when it declineth. I am tossed up and down like a locust. My knees are weak from fasting, and my flesh faileth of fatness. We know from several of the psalms after his sin of with Bathsheba, David was afflicted with dreadful sickness. He says that he totally lost his appetite. Thus, it was a frail, feeble David who headed up the hill with his life in peril. He's an older man now. He's not a 23-year-old, a 33-year-old, or a 40-year-old. Probably a 60-year-old man. Them 60-year-old men can't run like they used to. I tell a couple of deputies the other day, they said, well, you can run. I said, no, you run and chase them, then I'll sit on them. They thought that was a good idea. Okay, chaplain, we'll go get them. And then you sit on them. I said, you got that right, buddy. Cuff them first, amen. That'd be police brutality. I'd sit on somebody. I'd squash them, amen. He said, I became also a reproach unto them. When they looked upon me, they shake their heads. David saying, David was a star. David was Superman. David was the Hercules of Israel. David was the one that killed the Goliath, and he didn't know how to kill him, and he chased after him and killed a whole bunch more. Saul said, I'll tell you what, if you kill some Philistines, I'll give you a daughter. He went out, I believe, what was it, 500? How many was it? 200 or 500? Anybody know? How many did he kill? 100? I still think it's 500. But just think of it. He was no sissy. But can you imagine here a man who's been the king of Israel, who people bow down to, who people feed, who people just take so good care of him, all of a sudden he's sneaking out the backside of Jerusalem, heading out, getting away so he won't be killed. Can you imagine that? I can't imagine that. I mean, he's up here, and all of a sudden he's way down there, and he's got a son that is chasing him. David said, hey, I became a reproach. David says, even those who might still have been loyal to him in heart, they look at this tottering old man in astonishment. This is not the David who they knew. That David could fight giants. Well, only one can imagine the malicious delight of a man like Shimei would look on his weakness, and David prays, Lord, remember my condition. He's not the rough, tumble, spit in your eye, shake you like a lion guy anymore. He's got a lot more brains than he ever had before, and he knows how to handle things, but he just can't keep up with the rigor that now he has to go for. That's tough. Tough up. And he said, Lord, remember. Remember my cause. I love this. You remember when David was fighting Goliath? And what did he say about the cause? What did he say about the cause? What was the cause? Why was he fighting? The battle is of the Lord. This is the Lord's battle. That was his cause. David had no means through. He wasn't through yet. He was still the king, still the Lord's anointed, and the Lord had already assured him that he would put away his sin. God said, I'll forgive you. Let my assurance be vindicated, he's saying. That's really what he's saying, verse 26. He says, help me, O Lord, my God, and save me according to thy mercy, that they may know that this is thy hand, and that the Lord has done it. Many a time I've cried out to God, Lord, show me a token for good. Show me a token for good. Then that hate me will know that this is your hand. Some of you go through things that, I'm trying to help you here. Some of you guys are at work and you're really, things just not going the way you planned them to go. But I will tell you, there's a God in heaven that will show you a token. You just go to him and say, now Lord, I want you to show these people that are saying I'm doing wrong things. And Lord, I'm doing as best as I can. I'm doing what it said. I'm going to do it. Some of the guys don't. They want me to go out with beer and they want me to do this and do that. And I don't want to do it. And now they're picking on me. And Lord God, just show me a token. Lord God, help me. Save me according to thy mercy, that they may know that this is thy hand. I'd put that in the back of your Bible, I was you. Because it's going to happen. How many has ever happened to you before like that? People get on you, get on the wrong side. Don't tell me you'd have none of that, boy. I'll tell you what. You get a new boss. Get a new guy, come in. He's going to show you what? The APRs don't go very good, do they? They call them APR? What do they call them now? Huh? EPR. EPR? What? EPR? Boy, they can ruin you. They can ruin your career. Can they? Yes, they can. I'd remember that verse. Victory, therefore, for David would not come by him, but by come from God. David set all his hope in God and looked to God to vindicate his assurance. That's how you endure. And then he says, verse 28 to 31, let my assailants be vanquished. I've had guys that just really try to hurt me, rub my face in it, and all of a sudden, they're gone. Just gone. David wanted his assailants vanquished for two reasons. First, in order that it may prove that he was doing right. Let them cursed be cursed. David wanted victory, not so much that he might triumph over his foes, but the faith would be vindicated. Why would we want to ruin somebody if we haven't told them about Jesus Christ yet? This may be the thing to win them for Jesus Christ. David wanted the assailants vanquished for the second reason, that the Lord might have the praise he deserves. And most time when things happen, people say, man, what was that? I said, well, I want you to know this was going on, but God took care of it. Indeed, our God is gracious and takes his place at the right hand of all those who acknowledge their deep and desperate need in him. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'd help us tonight. Help us realize that we have a God who's a God that will take care of things. And Lord God, even if you don't take care of things, even if you slay me, I'll still trust you. Even if it doesn't work out, even though the bad guy gets the better, Lord, even though you slay me, I will trust you. I put myself in you. I can't do anything. And you can do everything. You're meticulous. You're perfect. God, help me to live for you. Help me to watch my lips and my mouth. Lord God, put a guard around the spirit of my heart that I may walk the straight and narrow, that I may live so others may see you and not me. In Jesus' name. You're not saved, preacher. I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you please pray for me tonight? I don't know if I'm on my way to heaven. God, I pray you to help us to go to our separate homes. Keep us safe tonight. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.